And in Heels is a motivational, inspirational, and educational podcast for women entrepreneurs. Let's learn from each other, laugh with each other, and support each other so we can all succeed together. And just remember, women can do anything, and in heels. Welcome to this episode of And in Heels. Morgan and I are absolutely thrilled today to be accompanied by Lisa Gilmore, who is a friend and peer from St. Pete. Lisa is both the founder and heartbeat behind Lisa Gilmore Design. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, thank you. So happy to be here.
So tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you're up to these days.
So I'm Lisa Gilmore of Lisa Gilmore Design. I own a full service interior design studio here in St. Petersburg. We are in our 12th year of business, and we specialize in luxury home renovations, new construction, and condo build outs and stuff like that, and just really making unique, inspiring spaces for people to live in.
Love that. Amazing. Love that. That's great. Lisa's work is beautiful. If anybody has not had an opportunity to see her Instagram or her social media, I mean, just your imagery and your brand is so on point.
Thank you.
And every time I see one of your images or your photos, I'm like, I know who that is without even looking at the name. Like, you just have such a distinct style. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
That makes me happy.
You really, really do.
That was my goal starting my business, was like, whenever people thought of interior design, like Lisa Gilmore goes hand in hand. And like, I never wanted to do things that were repetitive, but that had a strong voice.
And yours really does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're in a coastal area, so the trend tends to be lighter colors and breezy and oceany.
Yes.
But you have a way of maintaining kind of that tropical feel when people want to, but pulling in those elements that are so distinctly you. So I love that.
Thank you.
They're amazing. Well, again, Lisa, we know everybody has a story, and we although we love your interior design, you didn't start with that, or you didn't just wake up one day and become an interior designer. So what motivated you to do that? What motivated you to have that as your passion?
That's such a loaded but good question. So I did start my business pretty young. I was 25 when I started my business, and I was kind of a rare bird in terms of knowing exactly what I wanted to do when I graduated from high school. And so I would be like 16, 17 years old and like staying up late watching Candace Olsen's Divine Design at like 2 in the morning when I probably should have been sleeping in high school. And I just was so mesmerized, like, because her show like really showed like the artist side of design. Like, she would do these sketches and then have all the materials, and then they would show the construction, and then it was done. And it was the first time that I realized like you could be an artist in so many ways other than just two-dimensional art, which I paint it and I do all those things. And so it really piqued my interest. And so then pretty spot on, like from when I was like 17, I knew I wanted to be an interior designer. And I went to design school straight out of high school. And it was not an easy road. I did not have support from my immediate family. They all thought I was crazy and I would be broke the rest of my life. and I fast tracked, and I got my first design job when I was 19. I worked at a design studio in Lakeland, where I'm from, Lakeland, Florida. And then I knew there was just something outside of the box that I had been raised in Lakeland, Florida. And I discovered Chicago and the design scene there. And I got a job with a great boutique design firm when I was 22. And I moved there and worked for her. And just soaked up all the things. And then came back to Florida, picked St. Petersburg, and launched my company very naively.
All by 25. My gosh, girl, you were like overachiever here.
it's kind of crazy, honestly.
But you know, at 25, you open a business and everybody has a story, you know, and it's not always easy. So then what?
Oh, well, I failed a lot.
Well,
yeah. And honestly, like, I look back at that time and like, you know, I know so many people that either started a business as like a second career, like maybe they were a nurse and they want to be an interior designer now. And I'm speaking obviously the industry that I'm most knowledgeable in, or they were a school teacher and then they did this. And so they had like either corporate life behind them or like just more seasoning in terms of like mm-hmm. business acumen, or maybe worked for things or went to business school. And I was just naive and a kid with a dream. And like, honestly, like as much as it was a hard spot of learning, I would not change it for a second, because it was like, I was just so wide-eyed and ready to make a change and make waves and like bring color and bring pattern and bring all these things to this area that was seashells and blue and white. So, you know, there was a lot of mistakes, and I failed miserably on the bookkeeping side of things. I messed up so many things on like the business running side of it. And that's when I really had to learn, you know, you need a team that can back your talents, because if you don't have that, like, you're just going to keep failing.
You know, and that is so true. And I think we surround ourselves by good people because we can't possibly know everything. And I think that's one mistake a lot of business owners make, is they think, oh, I went into business, I should know this. Well, how would you know something you haven't learned about before or been educated about before?
Yeah, you're so right, Kelly. And I think because I was so young, I didn't have the resources or like the circle of people to be around, because everyone, when I was, you know, 25 years old, people were still like partying and, you know, doing silly things. And I was like over here making a website by myself. And so I didn't even have that circle of mentorship really to look up to. So I failed a lot, which in the end worked out, you know.
It did. Now, your personal life interwove into that, you know, obviously. Oh, yeah. We are humans outside of our companies.
Yeah.
And so we have those personal lives and those business lives, and they sometimes meet and are very harmonious. And sometimes things happen, you know, life happens. So tell us a little bit more about kind of those pivotal moments in your journey.
Yeah. It's so interesting that you just use the word harmonious, because that's my year. My word for this year is harmony.
Oh, nice.
And so, yeah, you're right. And because I was very young and very like, my eye was on the prize. I was going to be this interior designer. I knew what I wanted. You know, things did fail. I was previously married, and it was a great relationship until it wasn't. And, you know, looking back, I can see like I got married and I started a business within the same 6 months of each other. And that's a lot.
At 25. That's 25. A lot to take on.
That's a lot. It is. And like, now, like back then, if someone would have said this to me, I probably would have laughed. But like, a marriage is a job. Like, it's a job that you show up to every day, and you have to work and you have to put forth effort. And I think, again, being naive at that age, I thought, oh no, that it should just be easy. Like, it takes care of itself. You know, so I can see now in hindsight, like areas where I didn't nurture that first marriage and I was nurturing my business so much, you know what I mean? And so there was a lot of struggle there. But then we got divorced, and it was really a time of like epiphany for me of learning like the strengths that you have to build on. And like we were talking about needing that team. And it was the first time in a long time that like I had to really sit and look at myself and say, okay, you aren't actually financially dependent on your own. Like, you did depend more on your marriage for your financial resources than you realized. And I had a team, a small team at the time, not as big as I do now. And so that was like really weighing on me. And so, and I, you know, had to really learn the hard way through a lot of mistakes and filing taxes wrong and doing all those things to get those right bookkeeping and accounting in order and stuff like that. So that way I could thrive. And then interestingly enough, with the failed marriage and realizing that I had this horrible sore spot within me of not being good at that side of business, it actually empowered me even more to be better, because I was just like, well, I have no other option. Like, this is it, you know?
What else is going to happen, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I think though, when we have a weakness like that, or a moment of vulnerability, let's call it, because we all have to learn, right? We don't know more today if you don't learn something new, right? That we're going to be the same person tomorrow. So I think it's all of that journey of learning, because it's almost like sometimes dramatic or traumatic or really severe things have to happen for us to realize, oh, okay, yep, I was on the wrong path, or I just wasn't doing it right.
Right, exactly. And then even like to your point, you know, even after all that happened personally, and I got so much in order, just 2 years ago, I was served by the state of Florida for a sales tax audit on something that was completely gray and crazy. And we're like, what is this law? And right. That was a whole new learning curve. And it wasn't that I had my head in the sand. It was just genuinely not knowing mm-hmm. something, or the law was gray and having to research and get attorneys and figure out like, how do we need to do our mm-hmm. company? Does this make sense for us? So it's like always growing and always evolving.
Always, always. And with business, you just never know. There are so many things to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's never ending.
Yes. Yes. It's never ending. Do you want to do the inspirational?
Sure. So kind of to piggyback, inspirational and motivational kind of tag team on each other. But obviously, there were a lot of motivators throughout your early life and then into your, you know, early years of your career. But what inspired you to keep going through, you know, living in Lakeland, moving to Chicago, moving back to Florida, finding your first spouse, getting married? Like what was your inspiration in all of that, especially throughout your early years and then continuing after your divorce to again, learn new things, jump back into it and keep going every day?
Yeah, that's such a good question. So I've always been oddly really attracted to and inspired by like eccentric people. Like I just love people who aren't afraid of like being themselves, and whether it be in fashion choices, in career choices, and travel choices, like whatever it may be. Like I've always just been really attracted to the eccentrics. And so I've always kind of stubbornly been like, well, what can I do that will make people say, wow, you know? And so that's what's always inspired my design of like, you know, what is a way that I can create something that looks so amazing together, but kind of baffles the brain a little bit of like, wow, I never would have thought to pair that together. Mm-hmm. So that's from my like creative aspect. From a personal aspect, you know, I growing up in a small town, and there's so many limited beliefs in certain areas of places and things like that. And again, I kind of think it goes back to that eccentric mindset of like wanting to be the one to be like, no, I did it differently. And I didn't conform to that box of like, nope, you should be a school teacher. You should just, and not that there's anything wrong with those things. I just knew deep down, like that wasn't for me. And now I'm remarried and we're expecting our first child. We're having a daughter. And
yeah,
thank you. And that's just become a whole new inspiration for me because, you know, I want to provide her with a life of like, not just dreaming, but like actually living and like traveling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just in Morocco and I can't wait to tell her that one day you were 5 months in mommy's belly, we were riding on a camel in Morocco and like inspire her for her life. And I was a Girl Scout. And so I truly believe in like paying it forward and working with young girls and showing them all the possibilities and that you don't have to do what people think is the norm and you can make anything possible. And so that's really, really what inspires me.
Yeah, I think limiting beliefs are something that it's become more and more apparent to me that that's what stops so many of us, and I'm speaking for myself too, from truly following our dreams. And whether it's the status quo, not following the norm, or just the hill we have to climb to get there.
Yeah.
Limiting beliefs, I think, are what keeps us from sometimes even taking the first step.
Oh, I agree with you.
And how do we get past that?
Yeah. It's always the fear too of like, oh, what if it doesn't work? But nobody thinks, what if it does?
Right. Yeah. And I've always been one of those people, like, I'm not honestly a very good planner. Like I'm great at planning spaces and people's designs, but when it comes to like actually like planning things, I'm not really good at it. And I get really bored with it. Thanks ADHD brain. But like, you know, I'm the type of person, I'm like, I just jump and I'm like, oh, I'll figure it out on the way down. Right. But it's funny, interesting as too, as I get older, like now it's like different things of like those limiting beliefs, but also like anxiety started tripping. And I'm like, what is this? where did anxiety come from?
Where did you come from?
Yeah. You know, so learning how to keep those things tame to keep your passion alive is so important.
You know, I read something the other day, and this really resonated with me because I'm a visionary. Mm-hmm. And visionaries tend to live in the clouds. And I know that. I know that about
I'm
myself,
with you, girl.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you're living in the clouds, though, and you've got all these ideas floating around you, it's hard to get grounded and say, but that's the one I'm going to work on. That's the one that I want to focus on. And Morgan, we always joke that I'm Walt Disney and
I'm Roy.
She's Roy. Because like Roy was the numbers guy and like, you know, Walt, those are great ideas, but how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to do it? And Walt's like, we'll figure it out, you know, and did.
Yeah.
But I feel like when you're visionary, it's hard to know which ones to focus on, like mm-hmm. how to gain clarity first.
Yeah.
And that's been a challenge for me.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And it's funny you say that because it'll be 3 years ago this summer, I hired my friend as my director of operations because I was just in a state of like such overwhelm. Our industry was severely hit by COVID, like many, but it was like on so many facets, the construction side, the labor shortage, supply chain shortages, fabrics, you know, foam mills, all these mm-hmm. things that go into the components of creating a house were just completely slaughtered.
Yeah.
And then it was like figuring out those pieces of like making it all come together and then also trying to still be creative. Like I was literally losing my mind. And so I reached out to my friend, Maya, who's now my director of operations, and she has a construction background. And I was just like crying. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, I feel like I'm going crazy. I feel like I'm a skeleton. My creativity's gone. And she was like, I can help you. And so that was like a huge step in my company to have a director of operations because mm-hmm. exactly what you're talking about with like your head in the clouds and stuff. Like I still have my head in the clouds, but I bring it to her and I'm like, oh, she's my Roy, I guess, you know, I'm like,
needs a Roy.
What do we think about this? And my team must love it because I used to come into the office, like after hearing a podcast, like we're doing this totally different. And they're like, oh, here we go again. You know?
Right. Oh, you get that too. That is my favorite. Here we go again. Visionaries do that, right?
Yep,
we get exactly. excited. We're like, ah, and everybody's like, oh God, here it is.
Yeah. Like, I heard this brilliant idea. They're like, yeah, but this is really great how we're doing it. And I'm like, but we can do it this way too.
Right. Mm-hmm, right. That makes it's great because it never leaves anything to get stale, but at the same time, it can be overwhelming, even for me, because I'm like, okay, I have this idea and this mm-hmm. idea and this idea and this idea, but which one do I do and which one's the right one?
Right.
And I think that's what becomes difficult is which one's just a daydream mm-hmm. and which one should become reality. And understanding mm-hmm. the difference is still sometimes hard for me because I am an optimist mm-hmm. high personality. So I get excited about everything.
Me too. Yeah.
Yes. And then knowing where to focus and how to mm-hmm. say, okay, well, that's the right one for this. Yes.
Yeah, it is
and
hard.
And that's, I think, been my hardest thing.
I agree with you. And I find the same challenge. But I think that's the beauty in like surrounding ourselves with people that we work with that love and love us and love that part of us and love our success. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we trust them to like not come at things with like a negative mindset, but like a little bit of a realistic approach, you know? So it's just like given that trust and love that you have to have with your team.
Well, mm-hmm. and the other thing I think I've had to learn is if we try something or we investigate something or we study something, it doesn't mean everything was meant to come to life. Some things are there mm-hmm. just there for lessons in our journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that has given me some, removed some of my limiting beliefs because some of my limiting beliefs I think have come from, well, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, no, you tried that because it was a lesson. It mm-hmm. wasn't supposed to work. And it's like, oh, okay. So I think if we can look at things that way, it makes it easier to understand that some of those failures weren't failures. They were lessons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Often it's just a perspective shift.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the when you realize those moments, though, those are what makes my heart sing.
Yeah.
It's like, OK, that's what I was supposed to get out of that. And mm-hmm. I've got it now.
I agree.
All right. Do we want to go to education?
Yeah. So a part of Andon Heels is obviously our educational. And I'm sure there's a lot of education in interior design, although most of it's probably fun and the creativity. But definitely probably parts that you have to stay educated on and trends and all of that. So what's the best way, two things, that you stay educated in your profession? Mm-hmm. And then is there a way that you'd like to stay educated in your personal life, if that's a podcast or reading, you know, to get your mind off things or whatever that looks like? Or yeah, mindset shifts or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of education in interior design. There's things always changing. We focus in residential interior design. And so there's commercial interior design, which is much more heavily, regulated and like rules mm-hmm. and things like that. But in residential
codes and
things. Yeah, like exactly.
Oh, yeah.
In residential, we have that too. And so like, we're always just like keeping on track and like, I always just say like when we're working with a construction team, you know, usually there's like a project manager that's assigned to the project. And I always go to projects and I'm like, listen, like we play well in the sandbox. Like there's going to be things I don't know. There's going to be things that you might think I'm crazy for bringing to the table for an idea for this. Let's just promise to communicate, educate, and like do that. So to me, like open communication is the biggest education tool you can have, and like and be open to other people's thoughts and ideas mm-hmm. and their experiences that have brought them to the table with you. So that's one of my biggest things that I always, you know, tell my team and even clients, like when they get frustrated during the construction process, like, well, you know, let's hear it out, you know. So that, and then of course there's always like conferences and, you know, business acumen things that I do to go to and do stuff like that. And then on a personal level, you know, when it comes to education for myself, definitely I listen to some different podcasts. But honestly, it's time outside. It's nature. It's like resetting myself. It's allowing myself to breathe and like let go of that person that's Lisa Gilmore Design, because that's something else that I really had to mm-hmm. realize. Like my name is my brand. My talent is my livelihood. And so sometimes it's really hard to separate those two. Like one day I might be, you know, wearing heels and dressed amazing and talking design. And the other day I might be at the sports bar eating chicken wings. Like I'm so many facets. So learning mm-hmm. to like nourish all those sides of me and not feeling like one or the other and living more harmoniously with it.
Love
yeah,
that.
And I think that's something that we do as well, because we work together mm-hmm. so closely. So it's hard to be like, oh, are we, you know, co-working together? Are you my boss and I work for you? And are we that relationship? Or are we like, hey, we're chilling out on the couch watching a movie because it's after 5 o'clock, and that shift, you know? And, yeah. and so we do that as well. And that's always interesting, you know, the dynamic mm-hmm. to be like, what are we going to be this day or this time? Because some yeah. days are harder than others, and
yeah.
not to work together, but just life in general. Mm-hmm. And so we do the same thing.
Yeah. Leaving it behind, I think, is the hardest thing. And, you know, you'll find mm-hmm. when you know, your daughter arrives and you have now that, you know, influence in your time. It's like, how do you become mom, wife, business owner, leader? Daughter, yep. sister, what, you know, what, all the things.
My brain's been having real fun with that conversation right now, Kelly.
Yes. But I think what we find, and what I want to tell every one of our listeners today, is don't let your limiting beliefs make that a difficult circle to fulfill. Mm-hmm. Because I think back in the day, you know, when my kids were young, I was in a male-dominated industry. I was in the finance industry, and I was in a role of leadership. And I felt like I had to keep up with the men to be able to fulfill the role and to create, a, you know, meet expectations. But I could have done my job just as well without all those weekend golf tournaments or after hours at night or taking clients out. Like, I could have skipped a lot of that and still done my job just as good if they would have let me do it my way.
Right.
And I think that's what we have to create.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited to create mostly. I'm excited to see this next chapter and like how I'm going to blend everything together, because I do have the luxury of making my own schedule. I do have the luxury of bringing her to the studio and letting her play in fabrics if she wants to, you know, or I also have the luxury of hiring some help and going to the office and focusing, you know. So I'm really excited to like fine tune what that looks like. And I know it's going to be very evolving, but I've really been trying to focus on that. Like, this is my story and I'm able to mm-hmm. write it however I want.
And that's the main mm-hmm. takeaway right there. It's what everybody should realize today. It's your story. Write it the way you want, mm-hmm. not the way someone else tells you it should be, or that you're told, you know, this is how you should do it. Mm-hmm. Do it your way. Do it the way that creates harmony in your life.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be what everyone else expects it to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, Lisa, we are getting ready to wrap up, but there is a finale here. And this finale, all of our guests are asked to leave our, you know, a really just educational piece or a nugget of information with our listeners that are going to remember you by. So what is that you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
So there's this quote by Diana Vreeland. She was the editor-in-chief of Vogue magazine in like the 60s. And she's just a wildly eccentric woman. She did like Harper's Bazaar and all this stuff. And she has this quote, and it's, there's only one good life, and it's the life you want and you make it for yourself, something like that. I'm butchering it. And I've always just gone back to that. And I do that when I'm working with my clients and their designs, and I'm trying to push them out of their comfort zone and get them to see the possibility of the space. I do that in my life when I'm making choices of travel, or now with this daughter coming on the way. And, you know, like kind of like we just said, writing your own story. It's your mm-hmm. it's your own one good life. So do what you have to do to make it great.
Oh, I love Amazing. That. And if everybody can mm-hmm. just take that away today and let that simmer, that's your lesson in today's episode. So Lisa, yes. thank you so much for today. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Yes. Fun.
Morgan and I were so excited to interview you today, and we just can't thank you enough for being a guest on And in Heels. Yeah, thank you
for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe. And just remember, women can do anything, and in heels.